Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from North or South, or from the East or West? My heart is filled with love for all of these. I only know I swell with pride and deep within my breast I thrill to see, oh glory, faint the breeze.
And among the events today, we're having our rare, in fact, an exclusive audio interview with the late General, Brigadier General Philip Berrigan from Boston, who built the American side of the St. Lawrence Seaway, which is now a problem because the ships are coming in from Europe and other places into the Great Lakes and bringing in these parasites and a marine life that's not indigenous to the area, such as the lamprey eel and these other alewives that are causing more problems with the agriculture of the Great Lakes region. We'll get into that in a minute. We can't get rid of Wiener and his gait and his, but given what's happened with other politicians and high-profile characters who are involved in sexcapades, whether it's female prostitutes, and there are male prostitutes out there, that just hasn't come out, that have been connected to politicians. Of course, the only one is the Barney Frank, and he's been conspicuously silent. People wish he would quit, too, but maybe we'll see. Nature will take its course on that one. But the question is, since Spitzer was offered the CNN media platform, will Mr. Wiener, his fellow New Yorker and fellow Jewish boy, be a fellow co-religionist, be offered a media spot to pontificate on the politics? So this is going to be very interesting. Already in San Francisco, at the San Francisco Chronicle, which was started by Dutch Jews, I don't know if they practiced. They anglicized their name to DeYoung. They hired Willie Brown, a very controversial black politician. A lot of people criticize him for his corruption. He seems to have Teflon, but eventually, as you know, if you've been cooking with Teflon pans, it does wear off. He fathered a illegitimate child with a white woman who was married. They weren't separated or divorced, Mrs. Carpinetti. And he refers to, allegedly refers to that child as the white rabbit. I don't know if that's racism or what. we have another Brown scandal. They're not related. It's also San Francisco. Is the Reverend Amos Brown, who was involved in a pedophile scandal. And he was promoted by the newspapers for a position to be elected to the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, or what are known as aldermen back east. We also have the case of the Reverend Jesse Jackson, who also fathered a love child. Is there a double standard? We hear John Edwards is being prosecuted for what's connected to his love child, using campaign money to pay off his mistress, or the woman he was having an affair with. We have, of course, Wiener. The media is really focused on him with a laser beam, in fact. We have Elliot Spitzer. We have Jack Ryan in Illinois, who's trying to pimp, allegedly trying to pimp his wife, Irish ethnic. We have, who else? Well, we've had other, of course, the former governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, who has some other scandals are coming out about him dropping the soap in the shower. The gays are on his back, no pun intended. But all these people get scrutiny from the media, but not ethnics. Is there a double standard? That's something to think about. I bring this up to you because, you know, it should cut across the board. There should be no exceptions, and these people are not repentant. I don't hear Willie Brown say he's sorry he made a mistake for shacking up with a woman that wasn't his wife. In fact, his wife, from whom he is not divorced, she lives in New York. So we'll get back to the East with Brigadier General Philip Berrigan, who also was chief of construction at Normandy. We played his interview earlier last week, and we'll now play it again. It's a little longer than the others, and it's quite interesting. These are people who never did any interviews, as far as I know, and, of course, we got them at Western Public Radio and KLW. And the Brazola Carson Archives. We will make this available to museums, radio broadcast museums who may be interested, because it is rare history. So here we go. There is General Berrigan here. Here we go.
Oh, I forgot to ask you about your early life, General. In Boston, what kind of background are you from?
Well, my father was a plumbing contractor, plumber.
So it's in your blood.
Came from Ireland, and he did all the plumbing in the Back Bay.
Of Boston.
Of Boston, you know, and Pekin Street and all those places. He put the plumbing in all these fancy houses. I used to go with him when before I was a kid. I remember going around to with him at these places where he put in the plumbing.
Mm-hmm.
And both my brothers were much older. There were three girls between me and the two oldest brothers. And one of them graduated from MIT. The other one was a natural draftsman, and he got out of high school and went as a draftsman for the telephone company, and he was the head of drafting for the telephone company for as long as I could remember. In other words, the telephone company does a lot of drafting.
Right. Did you know any of the politicians like Kennedy's father, Michael Curley?
Curley's, oh yeah. Curley's, oh. The family are very close to the Curleys. Yeah.
Oh.
Irish, you could see him from South Boston. Yeah.
Oh, you're from South Boston?
Yeah. And my brother had, my mother had a brother who was close to Curley.
Mm-hmm.
And he had political position.
Uh-huh.
John H. Dunn. Yeah.
And there was you're Roman Catholic, aren't you?
No,
then you must have known the cardinal at that time.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Quite a politician, I understand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You've had quite a background, General.
O'Connell.
Yeah.
I was in San Francisco, and I had 4 years to do, and I thought I was living in Niagara Falls, really. job with Canada, and I want you to go take over the division in Chicago. See, I have the division here that included districts in San Francisco. Now the divisions in Chicago include the Great Lakes, the district in Chicago and Buffalo, and another district up the north.
The northeast?
Well, northwest, you know, because Lake Superior. And it was a very interesting job of remodeling Niagara Falls with the Canadians.
Were they easy to work with?
Oh, terrific. And we both had the same idea. You see, that the international boundary goes right through Niagara Falls. And so the falls had all the water going, practically 85% of the water went through the middle quarter of the falls where the international boundary went across. And what we did was to both go on our side of the international boundary and flatten out. We sandbagged so we got away from the water, but we made the elevation of the edge of where the water would go as the same as the elevation in the middle of the horseshoe.
So you had to make it level.
Water so that we spread the thing out so that Niagara Falls was maybe instead of a quarter of a mile in the middle of the falls, it was 2 or 3 miles long. And particularly, it made it very pretty, beautiful. In other words, and we actually generated more power. We put more power through the powerhouse because all that water is going through the middle of the falls. And for the show, you couldn't divert much more than they were diverting. Whereas if you spread it out for the little bit of water, maybe only 6 inches of water going over the edge, and then diverting more for power, making equal amount of power from the Canadian and the United States side. It was
so for once, everything got shared.
Well, it had to be that way. In other words, it's very logical that we wanted it to be that way. It was a fair thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, if I can get on an environmental thing, General, with the ships, foreign ships coming into through the St. Lawrence Seaway into the Great Lakes, they bring in bacteria and plant life that's not indigenous to the continental United States, and I understand there are problems now. Could that have been avoided?
I don't think that was any different problem from what we were doing. That was a problem of the health department, you might say.
Of course, we weren't that environmentally conscious then, were we?
Well, it wasn't our responsibility. That was something that could go to the public health department.
Mm-hmm. Because this is just starting to crop up in being from the Midwest myself, these Russian ships especially, they said, brought in stuff that was not indigenous to the United States, and now they're concerned that these animals will get a foothold here. What did you do after the Seaway?
Gee.
You came back to San Francisco?
No, I can't remember. I should have.
Well, that was done before he died, and fortunately we got him just as we did a tape of the last commanding general of the Bengal Lancers, the last British-American survivor of Gallipoli. There was the last British survivor died a year or two ago in Perth, Australia. I was out there, but I did not know at the time, even though I had all these Australian contacts and I was a correspondent, I did not know that I think his name was Henry Allenham. He died, he was living in Perth for many, many years, and nobody knew until he died that he was actually the last British survivor of Gallipoli. Since we have a little more time, I'm going to play replay, since people have asked me to play it again. The replay encore of, here's something that, I don't know, we'll do this. What Berrigan did at Normandy.
Get to know Eisenhower. Were you posted in England during the war?
No. just in World War II, Eisenhower commanded the Normandy landing, and I was under the chief engineer's chief of construction then. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of experience then, from 1927 to, 41.
Right. So Normandy was 44.
44, yeah.
So 17 years.
And I've been serving, actually, I served in the Portland, Oregon district, and the colonel I was served under was Ike's choice for his chief engineer, and he chose me to be the chief of construction. He knew what I could do from the fact that I served with him in the Portland, and we did things for putting in government corners and things like that, and even war different engineering.
Now those mulberries, I think they call them, was that a British invention or was that American? Those landing, flat things to land on the beach.
I think the name came from the British.
Now, during war, do you do any engineering for, like, the troops, like any sanitation, or is that done by the veterinarian?
No, the Corps of Engineers have districts and divisions all over the country. Mm-hmm. Like, they got a district and a division in San Francisco, and division covers districts at Sacramento and Los Angeles and San Francisco. And they have a division in Portland that covers districts in Walla Walla and Los Angeles, Seattle.
Now, in the liberated areas of Europe, did the Army Corps of Engineers come behind and rebuild the facilities, the sanitation sewers that were destroyed, or was that left to civilian authorities?
If it was for troops, we were the ones that built them. In other words, we built big installations for divisions in California, even. Mm-hmm. They had division headquarters in Los Angeles, San Francisco, Portland, and Seattle.
So you were going west coast?
Well, Portland and Seattle were under. Los Angeles and San Diego were in a division that was covered California.
After the war, what did you do? World War II, I mean.
I can remember.
Well, you were still on active service.
Oh, I was still in active service. Yeah. Gee, so long, I can't remember.
Okay. Or the Korean War, or St. Lawrence Seaway.
Yeah. Well, I was in Chicago. I'd come to San Francisco, and I had a lot of jobs with foreign countries during World War II, England and France, Belgium. In other words, there was a chief engineer, but I was chief of construction. I was the one that dealt with the British as to the geography and the construction for the divisions that were going to land in France and over England. And because I worked with then we went to France. I dealt with the French and France and Belgium, where we put divisions and troops for the invasion into Germany.
When the Germans retreated back to Germany, did they destroy sanitary facilities like sewer facilities, sanitation, that sort of thing?
No, I don't think they destroyed any. There just weren't any for the size of the units we were placing. In other words, when you build a division camp, you put in the plumbing.
Okay. That's prosaic.
Well, that was two-thirds of the long interview I did with the late Brigadier General Philip Berrigan. And just in honor of his memory, we'll play this little Irish tune. Brigadier General Philip Berrigan. Since I have criticized the newspapers and other people have been critical of their lack of accountability and their double standard or no standard, this clip from Citizen Kane should be interesting.
Is that really your idea of how to run a newspaper?
Well, you know, that was based on William Randolph Hearst's life. He didn't like the film when it came out, and the Hearst papers, I understand, boycotted it. But William Randolph Hearst, fascinating man. I had the pleasure of visiting his castle down at San Simeon, and we made quite a splash down there, and we may reveal everything that went on. But anyway, William Randolph Hearst is one of two American newspaper publishers who donated their estates part of this estate to the state of California where he lived. Most of the state, I understand, of that estate is still owned by the Hearst family. They run cattle, and I've had a Hearst burger. It's delicious. You ought to have one if you get a chance to go down there. You should see our state parks and our national parks. But anyway, it's open. It's California. It's probably the most popular of the California state parks. You got to pay to get in. There is a movie on his life. He liked Dotsons. He had a great zoo down there, but he had to sell off part of it because he had mounting expenses that he couldn't keep going building and acquiring. So he had to sell off part of his zoo. The other American newspaper publisher, Colonel Robert McCormick, Chicago Tribune, and at one time they bought the Chicago American, which was a Hearst paper, was in trouble. He had an estate out in the western suburbs of Cook County, or it was next to Cook County, called Cochin. That was the name of a battle that he had fought in World War One, and he bought over all of these military artifacts. If you go to Illinois, go to Chicago, I would, if you like this type of history, I recommend that you go out there. We'll be back Wednesday, and we're going to, since this is, quote, Gay Pride Month, we are going to start our series of some of the things you wanted to know about the gay, lesbian political agenda, the lifestyle, the espionage, the military agenda, but you didn't know where to look or how to ask. So, whoop. So anyway, we will end with our usual theme here, which is basically what we're all about, although we don't play poker. So we'll start that series Wednesday at 5 o'clock.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace Ben.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
We'll see you back Wednesday. Thank you for listening, and this will be up on the Blog Talk access. So it'll be up there, and as long as we have space, we'll put up our show. So we'll see you Wednesday. Thank you for listening, and tune in Wednesday at 5 o'clock.